And you know what? We have to give some props to our organist and piano players here, because I have seen piano players get up to do that song when it was requested. It's something like a hymn sing or something, and they just look at it and they go, "Nope."
Amen.
Today we'll be reading from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 25 through 34. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And then immediately he and his family were all baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. May the Lord bless our understanding of these words. There was a man that I've talked about a little bit here who started the organization Voice of the Martyrs. His name is Richard Wurmbrand. And he was a pastor in Romania. When the Soviet Union invaded Romania, he was imprisoned for being a pastor. And he was going around telling people about Jesus. And he was trying to convert the soldiers that had come. And this was against the law in Soviet Union. So he was imprisoned and he was tortured and he was starved. And at one point he got tuberculosis. And they thought he was going to die, so they moved him to what they called Room 4. Room 4 was the place where people were sent when they were on the edge of death. And no one who had ever gone there had lived longer than 2 weeks. He lived for 4 years in Room 4. And he said that all of the people who were sent to Room 4, after he had been sent there, many of them were atheists when they entered, but none of them were atheists when they left. Whether they left because they got better or whether they left because they died. He used that opportunity of being in that place to witness to everybody who came in after. And so he thanked God that it was through God's grace that he had been sent there in the first place so that he would have an opportunity, because most of these people were kept in isolation the whole time they were in the prison. Now today, when they talk about solitary confinement, they talk about it as this horrible, inhumane practice that people can't stand, but they didn't have that information back when they were doing prisons centuries and centuries ago and up till even the last 20 years. And so, yeah, they wouldn't have cared. Like Wanda said, the purpose of prison is to punish, not to rehabilitate, not to make anybody better, but to make them suffer. At least it always has been. And so he had a wonderful opportunity to be with other people and witness to them. And we have had go before us, just as we are reading from the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, it says, we go before us a great cloud of witnesses, because we are surrounded by people who witness what we are doing, and we are preceded by those who have come before us who were witnesses themselves and were witnessed for what they were doing. And I want to read to you a couple of quotes from people. One is from Julius Palmer, who was burned at the stake in England for standing up to what he considered to be the corrupt government for the name of Christ. And he said, "We shall not end our lives in the fire, but make a change into a better life." Another one was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was killed in Germany by the Nazis. He was a priest who stood up against the Nazi party. Not only stood up, but he actually actively oppose the Nazi Party through a series of covert missions and trying to get people out and trying to get supplies in. And I think he was also part of a plot to assassinate Hitler at one point. That might go against what most people think priests ought to do, but he did it anyway. But he said, "This is the end, but for me, it's the beginning of life." And that was right before he was hung by the Nazis. And the last one that I want to read for you is from a man named Jim Elliot, who was a missionary and pilot who did missions in Ecuador. And he was killed by a group of tribesmen. And some of you may have seen the movie or heard the story, The Tip of the Spear. Because he was killed by somebody with a spear, and we think they were cannibals, so he was probably killed and eaten. But then his family returned to that place and evangelized to that same group of people and converted the whole tribe to Jesus. But he says, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Let that sink in for a second. He is no fool who gives what he can't keep to gain what he can't lose. There are people all around the world who are suffering and dying because they believe on Jesus' name. There are people all around the world who endure such hardship that we could never imagine. Because we in America, well, we're kind of the charmed people. Even the poorest among us has so much more than what some of these people have. And these people are doing exactly that. You can move forward, Marty. Are doing exactly what Paul and Silas were doing. They're enduring prison where they sing and they pray for their persecutors. One of the things that was amazing about Richard Wurmbrand's ministry is he said over and over that he could not hate the people that tortured him and spat upon him and starved him and did so many horrible beatings to him. He said, in fact, that if Jesus came back, that he would refuse to go, wrapping himself around his guards and saying that he couldn't go to heaven until Jesus agreed to take them with him too. What kind of love would that have to be? What kind of commitment to Jesus would that have to be to say, "I want to take all these people who have hurt me so badly with me to heaven"? But in the midst of imprisonment and torture and being killed for their faith, these people were never left alone by God. We said it earlier in the responsive reading, there is no mountain too high, there's no valley too low, no river wide enough, baby. Wait, sorry, that's the wrong one. What? There is no place that you can go where you can get away from God. There is no place that anyone can put you where you will be taken away from God. There is nothing that can happen to you that can ever snatch you out of God's hands, because he is always going to be with you. In the depths of the desert, where there is no water or another person around for tens or hundreds of miles, God is still right there with you. At the very bottom of the deepest trench in the ocean, if there was somebody there, God be with them. God would be with them too. Somebody goes to the dark side of the moon, God will be with them too. We actually achieve what Elon Musk wants to do, start sending people to Mars. God will be with them too. There is nowhere we can go where God will be away from us. He will always be with us. And people find this out when they're imprisoned in places. There is a woman in Eritrea who was imprisoned in a shipping container in the desert where the heat got to 120 degrees during the day and the temperature plummeted down to 20 degrees by itself at night, and there was no insulation or no comfort. And she would sit there and she would sing hymns the whole time, just as Paul and Silas sang in the prison yard. And she eventually was able to be released. And God is always right there, hearing those hymns, hearing those prayers, lifting those people up. But sometimes when we hear about this, we think, oh yes, God is doing these great things for these people. Well, what can we do? How can we help these people too? One of the ways is what we did right when we gave our tithes. Because our church is diligent in giving to help those organizations, help those people. But there are things that we can do on a personal level. One of them is that we can send those people letters. And you might think, well, I don't know who needs letters. But there are places where we can know. Please move it forward, Marty. All right, well, this is a good quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. We'll do that one first. Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. Before we talk about letters, we can speak out. We can say something. We can make something happen by our own voices. God will not hold us guiltless. We can talk to Dan in the back. He was just out protesting the other day. And we can also do that. Not to speak is to speak. The longer we stay silent, the more people don't know what it is we stand for. Not to make a political statement, but before the last presidential election, everybody was giving the election to Hillary Clinton. And even when I went to bed that night, it looked like it was a sure thing that Hillary Clinton was going to win the election. I woke up in the middle of the night and I checked my phone just to see how it was going. And I saw that it had swung radically the other way. And everybody for months afterwards was shocked, completely beside themselves, going, how did this happen? But then they figured out it was because all of the people who wanted to vote for Trump had kept silent the whole time. So everybody was just assuming the election was just going to be a wash. It was going to be a landslide. But all these people had kept silent. But unfortunately, when everybody keeps silent, it only allows one side to speak. And so everybody starts believing what that other side is saying to be the whole truth. And so even the people who were voting for Trump were shocked when they won. Because they didn't know there was anybody else out there who agreed with them. And we as Christians can't allow that to happen within the body of Christ. We can't allow the body of Christ to be silenced, because I was saying this the other day about abortion in our land. How come that happens when there are so many people who want to have a fish fry on Friday during Lent that all of the businesses will change their menus? And yet those same people who want fish on Friday during Lent are supposed to be the ones who hate abortion. So how come we can change the menus, but we can't change the laws? Because those people are silent on that issue. They let the priests go and do the talking. They let the churches go and do the talking, but they themselves stay quiet. And so silence is an act by itself, supporting what you're not saying. Or supporting what you're allowing the other side to say, I should say. Not to act is to act. If you don't act at all, we're acting in support of the opposition. But let's move to something that we can do more directly, too. Prisoner Alert is a wonderful service put on by the Voice of the Martyrs. I'm going to be referencing a couple of things by them. And what it does is it gives you the addresses, names, and information of people who are imprisoned because they believe in Jesus. Right now, their list only has 18 people on it. It has had thousands, and it's gone down since then, mostly by the work of people who care. And what they do is you can write letters to the people who are in prison. Why would you want to write letters to them? You think, oh, well, because I can encourage them, because they know people will care about them. Most of these prisoners will never see your letters. But the guards will, and the administrations will. Remember what happened with Paul and Silas? They sang, and then there was an earthquake. And the head of the guards thought that all the prisoners had escaped, so he was going to kill himself because he thought that somebody above him was going to punish him and his family for losing all the prisoners. When the guards get letters, especially American letters, why? Because America spends four times as much on its military as any other country in the world. Because America is this giant political and economic machine. Because America has all this clout across the world. When these prison guards in these countries get letters from Americans supporting the prisoners that they have just been beaten, it makes them afraid. It makes them, and sometimes if the letters, how Prisoner Alert works is the letters are these preset phrases that you can choose. And they will be translated into the language of the person you're trying to send it to. And they're all Bible verses and prayers. And so when these guards get them, they have to read them because they have to find out if this person is receiving like political information, or most of them are in the jail because they're accused of being spies or something. You know, trumped up charges. And when they read them, they get to read Bible verses. They get to read prayers to God. They get to read things about Jesus that they otherwise wouldn't have access to. So we're subverting what the government is trying to do by making the government enforce its own things. Isn't that great? And for the most part, these letters, all you have to do is take them down to the post office and they'll stick a stamp on them and send them off. Sometimes it's like 50 cents instead of 49. Sometimes I think the last one I sent was 53 cents. So I had to take it and get it done at the post office. I couldn't just slap my own stamp on it. But what is reported by the prisoners is that often after receiving letters, the beatings will stop. The lady in Eritrea who was in the shipping container got let out and got put into a more comfortable place because she started receiving letters. She started getting better food. And other prisoners have reported this too, that the torture would stop for days on end, which was crazy for them, that they used to get it every hour on the hour. And you might think it's such a small thing just to go and send a simple letter. And it is a small thing for us. But to them, it can mean the difference between somebody trying to kick their teeth in and somebody giving them a pillow. And so go, if you want to do this, but you don't want to go on the internet, let me know, and I can print a bunch of these out for you. And we can send them together and help these people. Like I said, there's 18 people on there. And so if we just committed to each of us choosing one person, then we could help them for at least a couple of weeks. And if we kept doing it after that, we could continue helping. Another opportunity we have is, since we live in America, I have the next one, Marty. Huh? Why are they blank? Oh, well. Okay. Well, you'll just have to listen to me and you won't have to look at their lovely faces. Because we live in America, we have a political system that is supposed to listen to us. And we have the wonderful thing of having names, addresses, and phone numbers of the people who we are supposed to be able to get in contact with. The first one was going to be a wonderful smiling face of Senator Chuck Schumer. Yes, I know. Be glad you all got spared, I guess. One thing that we can do is we can call you've heard it on TV, you've seen it, you've heard it on the radio. Call your congressperson, write your senators, all that kind of stuff. Well, you can. And most people don't do it. They don't take advantage of this opportunity. Is we can call, say, Chuck Schumer and Kristen Gildebrand and tell them that we want the people who are imprisoned set free. We want these people who are on that on that prisoner alert website, we want them set free. We want our government to put political pressure on their government to get them set free. Did you all hear about a pastor who was imprisoned in Iran about, say, 4 years ago? And what happened? People made a big stink about it. He had been arrested and put in prison in Iran, and people made a big stink about it. And President Obama went and said, well, we want to get this guy released. And guess what happened? He got released. Sure, our government is not Christian. Sure, like I said before, it's a soulless machine. But you know what? It's a soulless machine that's supposed to listen to its people. And it has power. And we can use that power to help the people who are being persecuted. I told you when we were doing the prayers, the UN and the governments have just turned a blind eye to what's happening in Nigeria. Well, we have organizations in America that are supposed to help with that kind of thing that have an ear in the government. One of them is the USCIRF, the United States Center for International Religious Freedoms. And they are one of these advocacy groups that's supposed to be nonpartisan. They don't take money from different groups. They don't lobby anything. But they go to the government and say, here are the places where Christians are being persecuted. Here are the places where religious intolerance is happening. We want you to change it. And they actually work directly with the State Department to do that. And they can get economic sanctions brought against other countries. They can get people to send diplomats and missionaries, or not missionaries, ambassadors to go and to say, here's what the U.S. wants to happen. You guys are really dependent on us keeping these 10 factories that you operate in this country open. Make it happen. And they bring that kind of pressure. For years, the U.S. has used its economic abilities to do evil things throughout the world. Let's use it for good things. But I wanted to bring up Senator Schumer and Junior Senator Gillibrand here. If you have pen and paper, I can tell you their phone numbers. Yeah. They're in the Daily News, too? Yep, they're right. They're on the editorial page of the Daily News. If you get the Daily News, you can use that, too. But I'm going to say it right here if you want to write it down. 518-431-4070 for Chuck Schumer. And if you really want to get his goat, tell him to go for it. That's an inside joke for anybody who went to college, basically anywhere in New York State. When you go to a graduation, Chuck Schumer will just randomly show up at the commencement ceremony. And he'll say the same speech every time. I know because I used to sing the national anthem at St. John Fisher College for their commencements, and I had to go to three of them every time they did it. It was the undergrad, it was the graduate program, and it was the doctorate program that they had. And I would sing the national anthem, and he would show up for at least two of them every time. And he would give the same speech about being a guy who made copies and how he had to just go for it. And that was his catchphrase the whole time, just go for it. So if you call him up and you actually get on the phone with anybody, tell him to just go for it, and he might laugh a little bit. But you can talk to these people and get them to take it to D.C. and tell them that we want these people released, that we want political pressure to be brought on these countries where they are persecuting Christians. And also Gillibrand's phone number, if you're taking phone numbers down. Also a 518 number, 431-0120. And these people are supposed to maintain offices in all the big cities, but I don't know how often they're there. But we can use the political mechanisms, God bless you, in America to help these people. And like I said, none of it is better than actually going and writing them the letters and also praying for them. What is the one thing that people ask for every time that they're asked, how can we in America help those who are persecuted across the world? And they ask for our prayers. Specifically, not that the persecutions will end, but that they will be found worthy of being persecuted. And that through their persecution, they will bring people to Jesus. And I want to read to you also a passage from the book of Ephesians. But prayer is the key that unlocks all doors. It is the thing we are exhorted to do over and over whenever we are thinking on these people, is to pray for them. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, it says, pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. We have hundreds of thousands of people out there who are doing just that, declaring the name of the Lord while they are wrapped in chains. And we can do some small things to open up their lives, to reach people for Jesus. So join me in praying for them. And I know it's a bit of a cliche, but calling and writing your senators and your congresspersons, and by writing letters to them. May the Lord bless this message and all those who hear it. Amen.